Welcome to the America Podcast. I'm Luke Hansen, an associate editor of America. In this week's issue of America, the editors write about comprehensive immigration reform. The Senate version of reform, which passed in June, includes both increased border security and a pathway to citizenship for most of the 11 million undocumented immigrants in this country. Now the House is making their own plans for reform. Today I am talking by phone with JP, who has lived as an undocumented immigrant in this country for most of her life. She's 28 years old, lives in Washington, D.C., and works in journalism. She asked that we use only her initials.
JP, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Would you start by telling our listeners a little bit about where you were born and about your family there?
Sure. I was born in Seoul, Korea, back in the 80s, and I was there probably for about 5 years. We had a really great life, my mom, my dad, and my older brother. My parents went to graduate school in the States, so they were familiar with America, but ultimately they wanted to move home to Korea, where my father had a great job as a professor. And the funny thing is, my brother actually was born in the States while they were in grad school, so he is the only American citizen in our family. So I come from what you call a mixed status household, which is relatively rare in the undocumented world. But it's been a really interesting experience to have a sibling who lives a life completely different than mine.
Can you tell us why your family decided to move, or why you decided to move back to the United States at around age five?
Sure. My mother, it was her decision. She loved America while she was here, but there were certain circumstances that kind of pushed her to move us all to the States. My father was a successful professor and a businessman. He made a very, very risky business investment in Korea without actually telling my mother about this investment, and the deal fell through. He told my mom. Obviously, my brother and I as children, we had no idea what was going on, and we were about to lose everything we had. So my mother thought, you know, this is the perfect opportunity to just up and go. So she just kind of made that really difficult decision to move us all to a place where she thought we might have a better life, better opportunities, better education. So really that was the impetus for us to move.
And when you did make that move, was there a legal avenue for you to do that, and how did the move happen?
Yeah, so my brother obviously didn't really need anything. He could come and go as he pleased in America. My mother and I had temporary traveler's visas, which basically last for 6 months and then they expire and you have to go back to your home country. So we actually had a legal venue to do this. We got our traveler's visas. We got on a plane to Los Angeles, actually, because that was the shortest flight that we could find. And we landed at LAX in December of 1990. And it was completely legal, completely okay. There were no issues whatsoever. We were just basically going there for vacation, as my brother and I were told, to go to Disneyland specifically, which we did. But that was basically how we got our traveler's visas.
At that time, is it your understanding that the family planned to stay beyond the time of the visa? And, you know, how did you understand that at the time, and how do you understand that now?
Right. As a five-year-old, it's not something that you really can comprehend. I knew that we were leaving Korea. I knew that we were going to somewhere fun. And as a five-year-old, Disneyland, what's more fun than the Disneyland? And for me, my mom just kept on repeating that we were on vacation and we were going to have a good time. Obviously, my mother wasn't in the best place mentally, emotionally from what had happened, but she was really, really adamant about making us feel like this was our home. And for me, I was comfortable in L.A. where we were for quite a few months. I didn't really miss my friends in Korea. I loved hanging out with my brother and hanging out at home with my mom, and I did not really think or ask, can we go back? And by the way, when my mom took my brother and me, my father came along, but after 2 weeks, he did not like the state, so he went back to Korea. So it was just us three.
You said that your brother and you have had very different experiences here because of his status as a citizen and your status as an undocumented. So can you talk about the difference that you two experienced, and what are some of the challenges that you faced as somebody who had been undocumented for a number of years?
Well, my brother was free to do whatever he pleased, as in he could get his driver's permit, his learner's permit, and his driver's license when it was time to do that at 15, 16. He was free to have his first job, I think when he was in high school, and then keep continuing that. He was free to get financial aid for college, which he did. He was free to travel. He actually was in the Peace Corps, and he was free to go to whatever country that he wanted. It was just much more fluid and much more free. And for me, you know, I didn't get my driver's license until I was 21, which was a feat in and of itself. I had no real identification, which is, you know, just a very strange experience to just live life in America with no ID. I couldn't, you know, study abroad when I was in college. I did manage to go to college, but when my first college found out about my status, I was actually kicked out. And I had to take a semester off. I wasn't sure if I was going to even get my college degree. And luckily, a university in Pennsylvania knew about my status and were very, very kind and ended up giving me almost a full scholarship, which is how I managed to get to college through a miracle. I mean, that's not something that happens very often. You know, job, I have my first real job at the age of, you know, 28, which is not standard. So everything was kind of delayed for me. Everything was much more difficult for me. Everything for me, you know, required a lot of thought and kind of deliberate thinking. You know, should I go this far? Should I find a loophole for this? What do I tell people when they ask me why I don't have this yet or why I'm not working yet? It's just a lot of questions that I think a lot of people who don't know about the legal experience have.
Is that something that you talked to people about or that you talked with your friends about? And what was their reaction?
I didn't tell anybody until I found out when I was 14. I didn't really tell people until I got to college, and I made a couple of very good friends my freshman year at this college that I ended up having to leave. And when I left, it was obviously a very sudden departure, and I felt like I couldn't just leave without an explanation. So I told maybe two of my friends, and then after that, I kind of opened up to maybe the closest people around me, you know, the five or six friends I had known for a long time. And their reactions were always very understanding. They were always very shocked, though. I think this is a common thing. If you meet me or if you hear me talk or you kind of look at my life, you don't automatically think of me as an undocumented, is what I'm told. I seem very American. I seem very westernized. And I think the biggest common factor in all of my friends' reactions was shock. But, you know, they love me and they understood and they didn't treat me any differently. I think the biggest thing for me was not that they wouldn't be friends with me anymore. I think my biggest fear was that they would pity me and that they would feel sorry for me and they would feel like I was somewhat less than just because there are things that I couldn't do that they could do so easily. So that took me quite a while to get over. I'm not really sure I'm over that now, even in my late 20s. But I think as I go on, it'll get better. It's definitely a process.
Last summer, the Obama administration announced a program, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. When the program was announced, did you have a sense for whether you would be eligible to apply in this program?
Yes, I heard about it the day that it was announced, and I kind of went through all the criteria. And to me, I fit everything. Luckily, I was, you know, I was only 26, you know, so I qualified age-wise. I, you know, was a good student, and I hadn't committed any crimes or anything like that. And so to me, I knew that this would happen. My only fear was with the election coming up, I didn't know if this program would be declared void at some point, or if, you know, once I put my name out there, it would be somewhat dangerous for me to be public with it or have my application just in the hands of, you know, immigration enforcement. But to me, it was just, I was so desperate to work. I was so desperate to have a job that I had an immigration attorney, and I went to him and got all my stuff together. And I literally filed on September 15th, which is exactly a month after that announcement was made.
So what were you know, once you figured out that you were eligible and you applied, you know, what was going to be the main benefit then, even with sort of the danger lurking of not knowing what would ultimately happen, what were the main benefits of being able to apply?
Main benefits, honestly, the only thing, the singular thing I was thinking about was working. I had been out of graduate school for about three years, and in that time, I was not able to use my degree. I had a journalism degree from, a university, and I was nannying. I was working as a nanny. I was waitressing, and I was just completely living my life day to day in this really depressed state. For a lot of undocumented young people, this kind of paralysis day to day of not feeling like you're in the world, not feeling like you're making a contribution. You know, when you have a job, it's a sense of accomplishment and a sense of integrity. And when you don't have that, it really can take a toll, especially if it's year after year after year. And so for me, the benefit of that, I didn't even care if maybe I was going to be deported later. I just wanted a chance to apply for a job and have an interview and not be scared when that W-2 or W-9 form came up, and just be able to be an employee somewhere.
Can you tell me how you learned that you you qualified and that you had status?
Sure. I sent my application, or my attorney sent in my application on September 15th. And I just had to wait. You get a text message once they receive your application, which I did, and then you can check online every once in a while for your status. And there are about six steps, and there's a red dot at whichever step that you're at. And honestly, I couldn't bring myself to check it because I was so scared. So I just kind of waited it out. And then I eventually got a letter from my biometrics appointment in late October. And that was, fingerprints, photos, just to get in the system, which I did. I went to my appointment, and then I just had to kind of wait some more. I was interning at a magazine here in D.C. In wintertime, and in February, I got a call from my mom, who had received a letter in the mail, and she opened it, and it was an approval, and my card, my employment card, and a letter saying that I had been approved and that it was okay. And obviously that was a very, very emotional day for me, and just completely surreal to have that card and to be able to now apply and really apply and just not worry about, lying to employers, which it was really always very strange to think about doing because it was very scary. What if they found out? What if my coworkers found out? It was just such a sense of freedom that I can't even explain. It really took from September to February. That's how long I waited.
What's your mother's experience right now? Has her status changed at all over the years? And kind of what are her prospects of having status at some point?
Right. My mother is actually a legal resident. She's a permanent resident. When my brother turned 21, he is 32 now. When my brother turned 21, he was able to sponsor my mother, a child-to-parent sponsorship. It takes a few years, but I think maybe it was 5 or so years ago, she got her green card. She took her test, she went to classes, and she managed to get her green card. So she has actually been fine for some time now. Up till then, obviously, as sole supporter of two children, she with absolutely no legal status, and frankly, when she first came here, she didn't speak much English either. She had a degree in biochemistry, a master's in biochemistry, and she had no idea what to do with that here because she had no really real work experience with her biochemistry degree. So she actually, got an apprenticeship in the arts, and she owns her own business in the D.C. area, and she's had it for about 15 years. So my mother has managed to make do with what she had, and she's been okay. There have been no scares, really. We got a letter once our visas expired from immigration saying that we needed to leave, and we kind of just ignored it, and it was fine.
Has your life changed in any way, or your experience of being in the United States changed since having legal status, in addition to being able to work? Has your life changed in any other way?
Since getting my...
Since being approved for deferred status?
Oh, It's just really a sense of comfort that I have now. It's kind of a sense of confidence that I can kind of go about my day, and if I'm ever stopped for anything, or if, you know, anything ever happens, that I'm technically mostly protected. I just feel a little more equal with my peers now. I know that sounds, you know, kind of shallow, but honestly, I just always felt like there was some level that I could never reach. And when you're going to school with the same people and working just as hard as everyone else, it's just kind of a letdown to not be able to do the things that they can. And finally, I can. And finally, I can work, and I have a paycheck, and I can have some sort of independence. And independence is just, you know, priceless, because you're waiting for it for so long. So really just a sense of freedom and independence and worth, self-worth, I think those are the biggest things.
What are the major things that you think immigration reform legislation needs to address based on your own experience of, you know, having to work within the system?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing it needs to address is that, you know, we are all immigrants. We are all are from different places. I just think that such a big misconception is that we all kind of crossed the border, went about working and doing these things, you know, in kind of an underhanded, sneaky way. And it's not like that. And I feel like if more people understood some circumstances of a lot of people, and I know it's not just me, I think that maybe people would understand, it would help people understand, mainly the opposition to immigration overhaul. It would help them understand that it's really not about amnesty. It's not about just letting these people who did no work whatsoever gain status or gain citizenship. We actually didn't address this, but what happened basically was after my mom brought my brother and me over to the States, she actually did find an immigration attorney in the Yellow Pages, because there was no internet back then. She found an immigration attorney and gave him all of our papers and the money to legalize us, because she knew she wanted us to stay. And he turned out to be a con man who was targeting immigrants and taking their money, telling them that he had filed, and then just leaving with the money and the papers. So, and then he would threaten these immigrants, including my mother, with deportation if she went to the police. And obviously, you know, when you first come to this country and you don't speak much English and you don't know what's going on, you're very scared. So my mother, you know, believed that he would go to the police. And so she just kept her mouth shut. You know, there are circumstances that you cannot predict and you cannot know. And I just feel like it's just, you know, the thing that they need to address is just that it's not amnesty. It's not just forgiveness for, you know, wrongdoing. I think that's the biggest thing.
One of the points of debate amongst members of the House is whether there should be a pathway to legal residency or mm-hmm. a pathway to citizenship. So what's your view of this? And for those who favor a pathway to citizenship, why would you say that's important?
I mean, citizenship is important for many reasons. I mean, economic benefits, first of all. You know, if you legalize these immigrants for citizenship, I mean, that's increase in tax revenue, that's more jobs. It's just kind of a general thought, I think, that economically it is better for the country to give these immigrants citizenship. Additionally, if you give them just legal status, I mean, they can't vote. I mean, voting is a fundamental right of Americans. I think that's a huge thing that you're not giving to undocumented. It's not fair. And honestly, one of the biggest things, I think, is when you're a citizen, you're a lot less vulnerable to deportation. When you're a legal resident, of course, you're not technically undocumented anymore, but you're still in this gray area that we spend so much of our lives trying to get out of. And it's almost there, but it's not quite. And I just feel like if you're going to do it, go all the way. It's that fear of deportation is always in the back of your mind. It's always debilitating. And I just think that it would be a lot better to give citizenship or to for the pathway to citizenship. You know, do I think it should take less than 13 years, which is a really long time? Yes. But I do think ultimately it is better to be a citizen for the country and for the immigrants themselves to to just give citizenship instead of just giving them legal status and hoping that they're happy with it, because I know a lot of immigrants who are not going to be happy with just legal status.
JP, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for sharing your story with us.
Thank you.